Read four verses, and since we're only just reading four verses tonight, we can read them together. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10. We'll begin reading in verse number 22 as we speak on the subject of considerate Christianity. Considerate Christianity. Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 22, we'll read down through the end of verse 25, and let's read aloud together. Ready? Begin. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And our key verse, of course, is verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we need you tonight. Lord, we need you every day. As the song says, I need thee every hour. Lord, I pray that you would bless, Lord, in the time now in your word. Lord, I pray that you would use this unworthy servant. Lord, you know that only you and I know who I am. Lord, but I thank you that you called me into the ministry, called me to pastor this church. I pray that you would help each one tonight to, Lord, to examine themselves in the light of the Word of God. Lord, are we considerate one of another? Lord, I pray that this message would move, Lord, hearts to draw closer to you. We love you. We thank you. Thank you for all that you give to us. Thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for who you are. Thank you most of all for dying on the cross for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The word consider. Consider, it means to fix the mind on with a view to a careful examination. To think on with care, to ponder, to study, to meditate on. We live in a generation, ladies and gentlemen, that is too busy, distracted, or apathetic to take the time to think. To take the time to think. I recently heard an interview with three Supreme Court justices, Sandra Day O'Connor, Stephen Breyer, and Justice Antonin Scalia. Those of you that know anything about politics, Supreme Court, Justice Scalia is probably the most conservative justice. He is also the sharpest tongued and I believe the wittiest of the justices. And someone asked them, what do you do all day? And Justice O'Connor said, we read a lot. We read about 1,500 pages a day. Now you think about that, folks. That's a lot of reading. Amen. That's your Bible in one day. 1,500 pages. And the other justice says, we do read a lot. And they came to Justice Scalia, and they said, Justice, what do you do all day? And he said, well, reading, writing, and I try to squeeze in a little time for thinking. And that's the way we are, folks. We do read, we do write, but think, to consider. May I remind you that the Bible says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think, fix your mind on these things. There are many things in the Scripture that God tells us to consider or to fix our mind on, to put to a careful examination. Let me just list a few by way of introductions. The first thing that God wants you to fix your mind on is His blessings. 1 Samuel 12:24. God's blessings in your life. It says, only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth and with all your heart. For consider how great things He hath done for you. Listen, I believe that depression is real. There are many preachers for many years that said, phooey on that. I believe depression is real. However, I believe for the saved that 99% of depression could be cured by just understanding how good God has been to you. See, we're supposed to consider that. We're supposed to think of how great things that the Lord hath done. Has it occurred to you today that He saved you from an eternal hell? You'll never even sniff hell, Christian. Won't even have, you'll be like those three Hebrews that came out, and the Bible says that they didn't even have the smell of smoke on them, and someone said, better than most Baptists. Hey, listen, we're not going to have the smell of smoke. Have you considered that today? Have you considered God's blessings in your life? Have you considered your health today? As we went home today, my wife and I came into the house with the babies. And she said, oh my goodness, we try to keep our house at about 67, 68. She said, boy, 68 is toasty today. Amen. Have you considered that? That there's people that have no heat today? They're huddled around a space heater? Listen, God has been good to you, and all God's people said. Consider that. Consider God's power. Job chapter 37, not only consider God's blessing, consider God's power. Here's Job, the Lord here is speaking to Job. He says, hearken unto this, O Job, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Dost thou know when God disposed them and caused the light of His cloud to shine? Dost thou know the balancing of the clouds and the wondrous works of Him which is perfect in knowledge? We talked about it a little bit this morning in Sunday school. This earth is just spinning along because God says so. You know, water is funny. People say, how can water stay suspended in midair? Shouldn't it fall to the ground? It should, but God tells it to hold. When you go through the clouds, if you've ever done that in an airplane, it's so neat to actually go through the clouds and then go above the clouds. And just think that water is just hanging there because God said so. Think about God's power. Can we say another? Think about not only consider God's blessing, consider God's power, consider God's interest in you. Psalm chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. When I consider thy heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? The God of heaven considers you an important commodity. You are precious to the God of heaven. Think about that. That'll cure depression. The God of heaven thinks you're more important than the whole world because you're an eternal, immortal soul for whom Jesus died. Have you considered God's care, His beauty and His timing? Matthew chapter 6, verse 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Isn't it amazing you can find God's beauty? I shared with the church now several times. My wife and I had the privilege, and I use that word privilege, to go to Hawaii. Not everybody gets to go to Hawaii, amen. My wife and I had that privilege. And the verse that kept coming to mind, Pastor John, the whole time we were there was Isaiah 6:3. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, the earth is full of His glory. I saw incredible things. My wife and I saw rainbows every day. We saw a rainbow that was horizontal. I mean, it just went right across this path we were walking. I said, look at that. We saw mountains that went into the clouds and then actually went through the clouds and above the clouds. We went to a lookout where we were literally looking down, and a helicopter flew down where we were looking, and it looked about this big. That's how high up we were. It was incredible. You see, folks, God's care and His beauty and His timing ought to help us to consider that. Consider God's supply of abundance. Luke 12 and 23 and 24 says, the life is more than meat. And the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them, how much more are ye better than fowls? See, God wants us to consider the food bill for the entire bird community of the world and says, you're way better than a bird. If I fed the birds, I'll feed you. I'll take care of you. I'll meet your needs. Could we consider, last of all, by way of introduction, not only God's supply and God's care and God's interest and God's power and God's blessing, but consider God's Son. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23 says, for consider him which endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. When you read the gospel stories, I hope you consider what the Son of God went through. I hope you consider what the Son of God went through, comma, for you and for me. See, we're supposed to consider some things. There's something else very important that God tells us to consider, and it's in our text in verse 24. It says, and let us consider one another. Our text in Hebrews 10:25 gives us four admonitions. In verse 24, we're supposed to consider one another. We're also supposed to provoke one another. That means two good works, amen? To move, to incite, to stir up. We're not just supposed to provoke one another, like poke one another, amen? We're supposed to provoke one another to good works, meaning our life ought to provoke somebody else to do the right things. Verse 25 tells us we're supposed to assemble with one another. Amen. And by the way, that eliminates that little parrot church organizations. Where do we assemble? Right here, 2301 North Elm. This is where we assemble. And all God's people said, the church house. Amen. But not only are we supposed to consider one another and provoke one another and assemble with one another, we're supposed to exhort one another. At the end of verse 25, it says, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. With God's help, I'd like to focus on the first of these, to consider one another with considerate Christianity. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm afraid that the world is creeping into the church of the 21st century. It's not only creeping in, folks, it's barging in. And like a ship that's out on the water, the ship is fine, the boat is fine on the lake as long as the water doesn't get into the boat. But once the water gets into the boat either has to be bailed out or it sinks. You see, the church is fine as long as we're floating in the world, but the world's not in the church. Once the world comes into the church, we've either got to get the world out or the church will sink. And if you don't think it's happening every day in our country. Every day, churches that used to stand for old-time religion are giving in to this garbage of today. And it's inconsiderate, folks. It's inconsiderate. I want to look at this idea of considerate Christianity. One of the most prevalent areas in which the world is invading the modern church is the me attitude. And it was funny because I was talking to Brother and Sister DeLong today, and we were just talking about these verses, with this idea that, hey, I'm saved, I can do what I want. After all, I have Christian liberty. If that is your philosophy, that you think you can dress any way you want, and you can talk any way you want, and you can do, please allow me to reprove you from the Word of God and tell you that an incorrect philosophy, a fool-osophy, has invaded your mind. You see, because if that is the case, number one, you're clearly ignorant of what true Christian liberty is. Listen, true Christian liberty is being freed from the power and penalty of sin. True Christian liberty is the ability to say no to sin. See, when you are a sinner, you cannot say no to sin. You just sin because that's who you are. But the day that God saves you, and you get the Holy Spirit of God, you get liberty from sin. See, we associate liberty with complete freedom. I can do what I want. Oh, no, no. It's the freedom to say no. It's the freedom to say no to sin. Romans 8:20 says, "For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." Not only if you think this, you're clearly ignorant of what liberty is, but you're carnally inconsiderate of those around you. You think you can live any way you want, listen to what you want, and it won't affect anybody. You are incorrect. Christian liberty and Christian responsibility are Siamese twins with one heart. You can't separate them one from another without killing one of them. You see, we're responsible one to another. Listen, as your pastor, I'm responsible to you. You ought to expect some things of your pastor. You ought to expect me not to go some places. You ought to expect me to go some places. You ought to expect to never see this man in a liquor store. Never! Why is that? Because I'm your pastor? Well, sure, I'm a Christian. Listen, I could go into a liquor store and buy a soda, but that would be very inconsiderate, wouldn't it? That would not be considerate Christianity. I could dress immodestly and listen to whatever I want. I think that would be inconsiderate. You see, true Christian liberty, again, goes right along with Christian responsibility. Let me read you a couple verses on liberty, those of you that maybe have this vain philosophy that I can do what I want. 1 Corinthians 8:9 says, "But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak." You see, there were people in the Corinthian church that said, "I have liberty. I can do what I want. I can do whatever I want." And they didn't realize they were a stumbling block to those that were weak in the faith. And they literally made spiritual pygmies out of some people in the Corinthian church. They just grew and that was it because somebody used liberty as a stumbling block. "Well, I can do what I want, preacher." Galatians 5:13, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty as an occasion to the flesh." That's what most liberty today is all about. The flesh. Serving the flesh. Romans 14:7, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth unto himself." You are not an island unto yourself. What you do affects everybody around you. And in this church, you affect the body. We ought to be considerate. We ought to have considerate Christianity. Let me give you three obvious areas where this carnally inconsiderate thinking is invading our churches. Three. And then I'll get to the outline. This is all introduction. Don't worry, I'm not going long, I promise. Everybody say, "All introduction. Oh my goodness. Just deflated my own balloon." The first area that we see this in churches is worldly music. Worldly music is invading our churches. Thank you that it is not so here. I commend you, Pastor Mayer, for you are the guardian of our music. Amen. I appreciate that. Listen, this idea of worldly music, Christian rock and roll, it's invading churches. It's converting churches from so-and-so Baptist church to so-and-so community fellowship. You don't believe it? Listen, I just got to this area, and I could already show you two or three churches that have used to stand for the old-time religion, and now they're gone. They're gone. Rock and roll was a term in the soul community in the 50s for fornication. That's what it was. That's what it still is. I said to somebody yesterday, I was out on visitation, they were talking about Christian rock and roll. I said, "Is that Christian fornication?" Because that's what it means. You see, that definition hasn't changed. Its roots are steeped in rebellion from both parental and biblical authority. That's where rock and roll music had its start in the 1950s. It was the idea of rebelling against your parents and rebelling against this book. Someone will say, "Well, it's Pastor, it's all about the lyrics." Well, let me read you some lyrics. "Take a good look in your heart, tell me, what do you see? It's black and it's dark, now is that how you want it to be? It's up to you. What you do will decide your own fate. Make your choice now, for tomorrow will be far too late. May I say, those are excellent biblical lyrics. They're by a group called Twisted Sister in 1985. Their album title was called Burn in Hell. And that's the name of the song, Burn in Hell. Folks, it's not about the lyrics. It's not about the lyrics. It's about the method of the music, the melody of the music. And listen, it's like the Supreme Court justice that said when they had a pornography case before him, they said, define pornography. He said, I don't know what the definition is, but I know it when I see it. And you listen to me, this ungodly rock music, I know it when I hear it. But I used to play it. Don't try to convince me of the merits of Christian rock. It's just as illegitimate as Christian cocaine, Christian whiskey, Christian fornication. You listen to me. This idea, this worldly music that's invading our churches, it's killing churches. You know why? Because the Bible still says, if you sow to the flesh, you'll of the flesh reap corruption. And it's not, listen, as long as I stand behind this pulpit, it will not be here. You'll have to put a bullet right here before we ever have it in our church. Ever. You say, I don't like that. Please let me reverently say, I don't care. Thus saith the Lord. We are not going to be worldly here. Not going to do it. Do what you want in your own life, and you'll give account for God for that. But as far as I'm concerned, on this platform, we will not have worldly music. Will we have enjoyable music? Yes. Will we have energetic gospel music? Yes. Will we have music that will encourage your soul? Yes, but it will not be worldly. It will not. God's music should appeal to the Spirit in its musical composition, method, and message. Ephesians 5:18 and 19 says, and be not drunk with wine, or as in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. How can you tell when you're filled with the Spirit? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual, not fleshly, spiritual songs. Singing with grace in your hearts toward the Lord. This idea of worldly music, it's inconsiderate, ladies and gentlemen. It's inconsiderate. And it will not be here on this platform. Not only worldly music, but worldly entertainment. This is creeping into our churches. This idea of an entertainment Christianity. Now listen, we just came through the Christmas season. We have cantatas. I enjoy those. I really do. There's some churches that's their whole ministry. No preaching, just a cantata. Listen, a cantata always ought to be a supplement to the preaching of the Word of God, never a substitute. Every time we gather together, the Word of God ought to be proclaimed. We are not in the entertainment business, and all God's people said. Old-time religion has never been popular. By the way, we're in the Father's business, not the entertainment business. If God's work is to have God's blessing, it must be done God's way and not violate God's Word. Let me say that again. If God's work is to have God's blessing, it must be done God's way and not violate God's Word. Can I tell you what is missing from this worldly, fleshly Christianity? Two things right away. I mean, there's a multitude. Two things stand out to me right away. Obedience to the Word of God, number one. And holiness to the Lord. Holiness. You see, folks, the spirit and the flesh are mortal enemies. They are mortal enemies. Romans 13:14 says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You see, the flesh, Galatians 5:16 tells us that the flesh and the spirit, they war after one another. And this idea of this fleshly Christianity, this entertainment-driven Christianity, it brings people to worldly living. It leads to worldly worship in worldly churches. And my response is this. People say, can I do whatever I want? My response is Paul's response. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. And all things edify not. That's what Paul said. Paul said, I can do what I want. It's what he said. I can do whatever I want. But I'm not going to do anything that would cause a brother to stumble. Remember it in Romans chapter 13. He said, if meat offend my brother, I'll eat no meat while my brother lives. Now don't come over to my house on Sunday because we're carnivores. Amen? Maybe you are too. What am I trying to say? Listen, this worldly entertainment Christianity, it's not of God. I promise you it's not. Our text is an admonition to one thing, faithfulness in light of our relationship one to another. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not only worldly entertainment, worldly music, but thirdly, by way of introduction, worldly attire. You see, there's a sloppiness and an immodesty that goes right along with this worldly music and worldly entertainment, worldly attire. And listen, by the way, if you come here right off work, you come in your work clothes. That's okay. Listen, I'm glad you're here. Listen, beyond that, we ought to wear our best to the house of God. You say, well, I don't have much. Well, it can be ironed. It may be denim, but it can be ironed. We ought to wear the best we have. And there's a sloppiness that goes along with this modern Christianity that I want no part of. Listen, when I come to the house of God, you say, you wear a suit, you have to, you're the pastor. Listen, I wore a suit long before I was the pastor. Because listen, a suit was all I had, Pastor Mayor. It was the best I had. And I said, you know what? God's house deserves my best. Sharp. But listen, baggy jeans with underwear showing. That's part of modern Christianity. Spaghetti string shirts on ladies, untucked shirt, tight blouses, short skirts. Listen, it's not anything that I want to be associated with. Nothing. And listen, ask yourself, is God worth my best? And the answer will come screaming to your heart, yes! He's worth putting on a suit coat or tie or tucking our shirts in and coming right to the house of God, wearing the right length of skirt and being modest, ladies. Leviticus 10:10 says this, and that ye may put a difference between holy and unholy, between unclean and clean. You listen to me. When I look at modern Christianity and I look at the world, I don't see any difference. None. You're supposed to see a difference, folks. There's supposed to be a difference. It's called sanctification. We're going to look at it Wednesday night as we study Jude. This idea of personal sanctification, separation from the world. Oh, we don't think we're better than the world. Listen, we've got somebody inside us that demands our best. It's the Holy Spirit of God. This idea of worldly attire and worldly entertainment and worldly music, it's creeping into churches. Listen, it's considerate to be faithful to God. It's a considerate Christianity. Let me just give you a few ways that we can be considerate Christians. Number one, adherence to the principles of God. Adherence to the principles of God. Deuteronomy 26:16 says this, this day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgment. Thou shalt therefore keep them and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. May I say, just in passing, every word of God is inspired. Even the begats, amen? Amen. We have an inspired, preserved Word of God. Thank God we do. And the Word of God is it's filled with specific commands. It's filled. Pray without ceasing. That's a specific command. Okay? Rejoice evermore. Specific command. But it is also filled with principles that govern the gray areas of life. See, there are many times where I will not do something because of scriptural principle. It's considerate to adhere to the principles of God. It's considerate one to another to adhere to the principles that God gives us. Listen, abstain from all appearance of evil. Amen? That's a good thing. Like I said, can I go into the liquor store and get a Coca-Cola? Yes. But you know, I'd be violating a principle, wouldn't I? Abstain from all evil. That's not what my Bible says. My Bible says abstain from all appearance of evil. At Midwestern Baptist College, we had a rule where if a young lady was dining alone
And I almost broke it one time. I wasn't even thinking, Pastor John. I walked into the dining area. I was so consumed with food, amen. I'm looking at my food. And there she was all alone. I went to sit down and I went, oh, got to leave the room. Why? Because there was a lady and a fella alone. You say, oh, nothing would have happened. You would have just ate your meal. Absolutely right. But what if someone made a false accusation against me? No witness. See, that's what it means to adhere to the principles of God. You know, there's so many principles. Go through Proverbs, is loaded with principles. Principles that can guide our lives. You see, it's considerate to adhere to the principles of God. See, that's why people will come to me and say, Pastor, what do you think is long hair on a man? And what do you think is a skirt length appropriate on a lady? Listen, to be modest. Listen, to look sharp. I remember my doctor, Dr. George Crabb, he's a preacher. At one time, he had like a quarter-inch haircut. I mean, he had the military Marine special. And I asked him one time, I said, Doc, how come you cut your hair so short? He said, because the Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair, and this is as far as long as I can get. Amen? Far away from it as I can possibly get. You know what? That's somebody that thinks scriptural principle is important. And it is important, folks. It's important that we know the Word of God, know what the principles are. And listen, if you don't know what the principles are, I hope you'd come to me and Pastor Mayer and Pastor John and ask us, you know, what do you think about this? Because God has placed us as authorities in your life, spiritual authorities. Adherence to the principles of God. Number two in our text, it's considerate to be in attendance with the people of God. Attendance with the people of God. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. I don't want to be included in that some, Brother Heath. Amen. As the manner of some is. What is the manner of some? The manner of some is being unfaithful to the house of God. Now listen, there are some folks that work, and I understand that. I'm not discounting that. But listen, when you are able, you ought to be here. Let me say that again. When you are able, you ought to be here. Yeah, and listen, you're here tonight. I know that. You're the Sunday night crowd. But listen, it is inconsiderate to be unfaithful to God's house. When you're not here, we miss you. Now listen, I'm trying to learn everybody's name. When you're not here, you come again after 4 weeks and I say, are you new here? Amen? Because I'm trying to learn everybody's name, Brother McGee. Amen? And listen, this idea of be considerate by attendance with the people of God. The excuses that the manner of some is, Brother Sams, I'd write a book on that, of excuses. But it'd just be a book for lame excuses. Well, you know, I just couldn't save it. Amen. You know, and again, my stock response, Brother Boston, has been now when I get excuses like that, just say, oh, save it. Save it for the judgment seat. Because if it'll stand up there, it's good enough for me. But I got a hunch there's going to be a lot of wood, hay, and stubble, Brother Blonky, on that day when we come to the judgment seat and we hear all the excuses that people have. Listen, we ought to be considerate. How can we be considerate Christians? Adherence to the principles of God. Attendance with the people of God. Number three, our actions in light of the prophecies of God. Look what it says at the end of verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, adjectives and adverbs aren't in the Bible just because God said, I need to fill in some space. It doesn't say there, as you see the day approaching. It says this, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Folks, we are in the last of the last days. If you can't see that, you're not looking. We are in the last of the last days. Shouldn't we be more faithful to consider one another? Shouldn't we be more faithful to provoke one another to good works? Shouldn't we be more faithful to assemble with one another and to exhort one another. Listen, in the end, it's not our words but our actions that tell everyone what we really believe. Listen, I talk to people, Pastor John, about soul winning. I've talked to different preachers about soul winning, but some preachers are all talk. All they want to do is talk about soul winning. Listen, 11 a.m. Saturday, we're going soul winning. Listen, I hope it's important to you. It's important to me, amen. You say, oh, well, you're the pastor. You know, you're just interested in building the church. Yes, you're right. I am interested in building the church. I'm interested in seeing people saved. I'm interested in seeing people baptized. You know why? Because when somebody gets saved, they're eternally changed their address. Listen, that's important. Our actions in light of the prophecies of God. James 2:18, speaking of our works, says, yea, if a man say, thou hast faith and I have works, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you thy faith by thy works. Now is the time to do more for God, folks, not less. So much the more. Almost thought of that for a theme for this year. So much the more as you see the day approaching. This should move us to be considerate of others when it comes to faithfulness. The fact that Jesus is coming soon. Listen, I don't want to be unfaithful to you when Jesus comes back. I hope you don't want to be unfaithful to me. Wouldn't it be terrible if somebody says, Pastor, are you faithful to your wife? And I said, 99% of the time I'm faithful to her. That wouldn't be good. Trust me, I'd get a left hook, amen? Listen, how much the more? So much the more that we'd be faithful to God, to consider one another, to provoke one another, to assemble with one another, and to exhort one another. See, it's the considerate Christian who considers others in where he goes, in where he doesn't go, in what he says, in what he does, in what he recommends to others. Listen, don't ask me to recommend you a Hollywood movie. I'm not going to do it. It's just not. Brother Bowling mentioned we have a TV guardian on our house to keep our kids free from hearing something that they might not ought to hear. Listen, don't ask me to recommend a movie. I'm not going to do it. Don't ask me to recommend some worldly carnal music man. I'm not going to do it. Why? Because I'm considerate of your Christianity. I'm considerate of the fact that you right now may be a young Christian and maybe a sapling just growing up. And I can push you to the world or push you to God. I'd rather push you to God every time. Considerate Christianity. By the way, anything that you're embarrassed to be doing when Jesus comes back, if I were you, I wouldn't do it. If there's a place that you have to go like this when you go there, if you have to go, I wouldn't go there. Because you know that Jesus is going to come in the twinkling of an eye. And there'd be a lot of Christians that'll be ashamed at what they were doing when the Lord came back. Let me just say this, young people. There'd be a lot of Christians that ashamed what they had in their ears when the Lord came back. There'd be a lot of Christians that are ashamed of where they were on the computer when the Lord comes back. You see, well, that's my own personal sin. Listen, you're to consider one another. You're to consider one another in your personal music, in your personal life. You're to consider one another. Why? Because we're all members of the same body. I think I'm going to preach on that next week. The body of Christ. Members. One of another. Listen, how about it, Christian? Are you considerate or inconsiderate? If you're inconsiderate, listen, we've given you three easy areas to be more considerate. The adherence to the principles of God, the attendance with the people of God, and your actions in light of the prophecies of God. God wants you to be a considerate Christian. God wants me to be a considerate Christian. See, I have to consider one another to provoke unto love into good works. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Are you considerate or inconsiderate in the places you go? In the programs you watch, in the music you listen to, in the things that you recommend to other Christians, are you considerate or inconsiderate? Are you part of this worldly Christianity? Or are you part of Christianity that God can bless? You say, Pastor Rich, the Lord put his finger on an area in my life. Maybe it wasn't even something that I mentioned. The Lord put his finger on an area of my life that I've got to confess I'm a little inconsiderate towards my fellow believer. Maybe it was the idea of liberty. I can do what I want. But Pastor Rich, the Lord put his finger on an area of my life. Would you kindly pray for me? And I will pray for you if you raise your hand. Say, Pastor Rich, God put his finger on an area of my life, anyone at all, that I need to consider one another. God bless you. God bless you. There's another hand. God bless you. God bless you. I need to consider others in my Christianity. God bless you. You can put them down. Anyone else? As we begin to play the hymn of invitation, we stand to our feet, page 496.